Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Cooking and Conversation. I am really excited about today's show. We have Heather Parody here today. Heather is someone who, she's just so much fun. Funny story about Heather. I've known about Heather for a long time, for well over a year now. We've crossed paths online, and when I saw her, I realized that we were kind of running side by side because she has a great podcast called Unconventional Leaders. She's coaching. She's doing really cool things in the space. But I figured our paths would intersect at some time, and I just wanted to kind of sit back and see when that happened. So we knew each other existed. We were there. And then lo and behold, not so long ago, someone made that introduction, and those paths that went side by side actually crossed. And I'm so glad that they did, because from the minute we hopped on the line together, we just got along so incredibly well. She keeps me laughing. We have so much fun. And she's someone who I now talk to on a regular, consistent basis. We talk at least weekly, and we both have very similar similar outlooks, similar goals, similar desires to help people and to use media and to make an impact. So when I was talking to her in one of our conversations, she mentioned that she loves food, specifically cheese and veggies, as you'll see in today's episode, but she loved food. And I said, well, since you love food and since we love to chat and we have so much fun, let's bring this party to Cooking a Conversation, where you can get in your kitchen, do your thing, but we can still have fun and laugh. And it's so much fun. You're going to hear in the episode, not only are we having a blast, but her family gets involved, her kids come in. Yeah, there's some things going on, but it's so much fun. And I had a blast doing this. We laughed. She cut a ton of vegetables because her family, they meal prep. And meal prepping is something that is increasingly popular, and rightfully so, because in our busy day-to-day lives, it's easy to have things that are prepared ahead of time so we can just grab and go, or take certain components and combine them in a way that doesn't take a ton of time and gives us a healthy on-the-go snack or a quick healthy lunch. So she cuts at the beginning of each week tons of vegetables, like tomatoes, cucumbers, zucchini, all those different things, and green peppers, all of those things, and has them so that they can just grab them and snack on them, or create a really simple vinaigrette, toss them all together, and you have a quick salad. And we talk about different smoothies and different cocktails, and we talk about all kinds of things. So we had a lot of people also involved in the conversation in the live stream, because as you know, with Cooking a Conversation, we do these episodes as a live stream. So if you follow me or connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, you'll be able to see these when we do them live and actually be part of the conversation, which adds a whole new dimension, a whole new element that is just so much fun. But in today's episode, it's Heather Parody from the Unconventional Leaders podcast is what she hosts. Heatherparody.com is her website. And she's going to be in her kitchen doing her meal prepping, chopping a ton of vegetables, talking about the vegetables, how they like to use them. And along the way, we're going to talk about what it's like to be an unconventional leader, what that means, and how to actually take what you're passionate about. Start with that. Put all of your energy and focus into your passion and what fills you up. And from there, use that to deliver value that then drives revenue and that you can monetize in the online space specifically, because that's what we're talking about today. So we had so much fun. We covered a lot of great topics. I'm going to get into the episode. I want to remind you, as always, if you like the podcast, please go and rate and review us on iTunes or on Apple Podcasts, and connect with me across social so you can actually join in these conversations when we do them, as we do them quite often, Cooking and Conversation. Without further ado, here is our episode of Cooking and Conversation with Heather Parody. What's going on, everybody? I am super excited. I see someone with a bunch of celery in front of me.
Why are you in my kitchen?
Why are we in your kitchen? That's a good question.
Oh God, this is so embarrassing. Go ahead.
Have you ever done a show from your kitchen before?
No, I've never. In fact, these whole lives things stress me out. I'm just sitting here trying to cook, and then this guy pops up on live on the internet.
This is going to be fun. Everyone loves these. Cooking and Conversation. Heather Parody is our special guest today.
Hello.
Heather, how are you? Heather's so much fun. She's one of my favorite people. We've talked a lot in the last couple of weeks.
47 times in about 10 days, y'all.
Exact count.
What are we doing? Awesome.
I don't really know quite yet. I don't know what we're making. I know you have a lot of vegetables. I know you have a lot going on. You have a lot of family running in and out of the kitchen as we were getting ready.
Sorry. And a cat.
No, don't be. We love family and pets. You'll hear my puppy. He'll probably bark halfway through this a couple of times.
There's not, it's not pets life. Anymore. It's not plural because Hamster Lou died last week and you just brought it up and my heart is now hurting.
I'm sorry. Hamster, I'm sure he's running on that hamster wheel in heaven.
He was so old. Like I was every day we went to his cage. Well, this was a mini hamster and they last about 2 years. Well, that's what the PetSmart PetSmart people are into animals because when we got Hampy Lou, this girl come over and she had, you know, just like decked out with animal stuff and she's just like giving us the lay down and she's like, this is gonna last 2 years and you better let it, you know, live to be that long. This is all the stuff you gotta do. So I was sweating. I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope it doesn't die before 2 years and I'm a hamster murderer. I thought there was a kid beside me. But Hamster Lou lasted 2 years and like 3 months. So we are good at keeping hamsters alive in this house.
That's a good lifespan. I didn't know. I had no idea about hamsters and how long they lived. I've never had a hamster. My sister's had hamsters, but not me. But that's good.
I bet you are so glad you talked to me today.
He had a good long life, Hamster Lou.
A good hamster.
There's nothing to be upset. So what you have a lot of celery in front of you. That is like a lot of celery.
Is this intimidating? Like you better be nice to me or I'll break your leg.
I mean, I'm
like
sure the people listening to the podcast version, they hear that crunching. It's like they don't know what's going on.
Listen, we said we were gonna cook together and all I thought was like, yes. Oh my goodness, I need to get all of these vegetables prepped because this family eats some vegetables, but that means you gotta cut a bunch of crap.
That's good. I, you know, the funny thing is, you know, Heather and I got on the line. We were doing some podcasts over the past couple of weeks together and we started talking about food and she was like, I love food. I love eating. And I'm like, do I have the show for you? So that's why she got invited. I don't invite everyone to be on this show. Like it's easier to get on my other show. This show's pretty exclusive.
It makes me feel good. Even though I'm not the best cook in the world. I'm impatient. That's one thing I learned about cooks is one time I burned something again and I was like, why do I keep burning crap? And then it hit me. I was like, because you have to be patient because what I do is I turn up. I love all those numbers on that stove. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the higher that number, the hotter it gets. So it cooks faster in my mind. Right. But it doesn't work like that because then it burns. And so I have a patience problem, which makes cooking a little bit difficult.
Yes. Patience is necessary. Now, I will say patience is much higher and much more needed in baking. So do you like to bake?
I like eating the product of bakers.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'll eat it. But hey, Carrie, what's going on? Carrie says hi.
What up, Carrie?
Yes, you did. She was on the podcast that we recorded a while ago. Carrie's awesome.
Is Carrie a good cook?
Carrie is into non-alcoholic beverages, like really fancy non-alcoholic beverages, like seltzers and different flavors. She's really good there.
That's kind of cool. Does she have a cookbook? Because I need to learn.
We can check out her website.
I got a seltzer water in a can.
That's cool. I'm drinking the same thing. I have a
what
cucumber,
flavor?
Cucumber lime.
You're fancy. I'm just Kroger lime.
Lime's good.
Okay.
Carrie says that your accent is adorable, and she
Thank
doesn't
you.
Have a cookbook yet.
Thank you,
but
Carrie.
She stressed the word yet.
Amen, sister. We can kick it.
Yes.
I like that
so,
optimism.
For those of you listening on the podcast, as you know, we live stream these, so that's why we're talking to people who comment. You're welcome to join us either on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. You can go and connect with me there, and you'll be able to join us on all of the fun that we're having and see everything that's going on. What Heather, she's as she chops her celery. Now, the only thing I can think of as you funnily yet angrily chop your celery is I'm thinking of like, man, that makes me want a Bloody Mary.
Oh, you know, I've never had a Bloody Mary.
Never had a really?
No, that name stresses me out. A Bloody Mary? No, I'm not about that.
You've clearly never had one because if you have, you'd be able to get over the name.
Isn't it like tomato juice or something?
It is. Do you like
tomato juice? I hate tomato juice.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It makes me think of old people.
No, Bloody Marys are delicious. Do you like spicy food?
Yes, I like food.
Well, Bloody Marys, they have a little kick, a little spice. I'm sure Carrie has a great recipe for a Bloody Mary. She said a virgin one she typed in here. Carrie, if you have a great recipe for a Bloody Mary, Yes, yeah, spicy. If you have a great recipe for a Bloody Mary, send it my way. We'll have to have you on one of these shows, and we'll make that Bloody Mary, and maybe Heather can watch and make it with us. We can all three do one together, and you can taste your first Bloody Mary.
That sounds
I'm throwing that out there right now.
What up, Carrie?
Nice, spicy. That's the thing about Bloody Marys. It's like, it's a drink that's very, it's got a lot of body to it. Like, it's got like some Tabasco and Worcestershire.
Okay, okay. Now, see, this is why the cooking thing stresses me out. Because you cooking people, y'all use all these words I don't understand. A drink has a body.
Yeah, it has body to it. What does that mean? It's not like a glass, like water doesn't have much body. It just goes right out. Like a Bloody Mary is like, coat your palate.
Water helps your body?
It does help your body. You should drink water, but Bloody Mary like coats your palate. It's like it's got
flavor. Coats your palate. What does that even mean? I don't know what that means.
It's like when you drink it, you can feel it. It's not just like a liquid. It's like a little bit thicker. If you can taste it, it's got a lot to it.
It's I just need to be educated. Where are you going to get educated on this?
A Bloody Mary isn't something that I would sit and have like eight of them. Some people can. Even if it's virgin, I would not do that. I'd have like two and really enjoy them. And then I'd have like a beer or a tonic.
So could you have eight beers?
If it's a hot day.
See, I think beer is the most disgusting tasting thing in the world.
Really? I think it's refreshing.
Really? No, I don't like it. It's not. It's like, it's. Well, I'm not going to say that because I'm in the middle of food around here. It's something liquidy that comes out of your body that's not food.
Carrie makes a really good point. She said a Bloody Mary. Now, this would be up your alley. A Bloody Mary is something that can almost be like a salad. So it's great when you serve it with pickles, olives, okra, things like that.
Okay, now you're, look at this. I got excited. I'm waving the celery in your face.
Yes.
Okra and Southern people, we get along.
I love some okra.
Fried okra, yo.
Oh, yeah. Do you make fried okra? Do you make fried okra?
I eat fried okra. Yeah, of course, you make it. That stuff's like real life, man. I mean, I know it's not. Listen, I don't want you guys to be lied to. The reason I'm cutting up vegetables and stuff is we eat a lot of healthy food to make up for all the bad food we eat. Because that is real and alive, including fried okra. Fried anything, shoot.
It's balance, right?
That's what it is. That is what it is. My husband doesn't necessarily agree with me. He's way healthier than I am, but I'm all about that balance.
Your husband's he's a fitness guy, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
He wasn't that way when we got married. He turned into one.
You turned him into a fitness guy?
That's not what happened. Let me tell you. I got my knife again.
Don't talk with your knife, please.
I can't help it. I get so excited. So let me tell you a little story. So we're dating, right? Mm-hmm. And he's still healthy at that point. Not to the extent he is, but we're going to watch a movie. And so I get some Oreos, you know what I mean? Because like,
why wouldn't you?
Well, I had this thought that crossed my mind. I was like, okay, I'm going to get these Oreos and we're going to watch this movie. And if he doesn't eat these Oreos, I'm going to break up with him. I literally had that
You gave
thought.
Him a private ultimatum. Hey, yeah, I got to do a quick shout out to Angela because Angela Yapano just said hello. And I want to give her some cred because she's watching in Manila right now and it's 4:42 a.m. there. So I just wanted to make sure that we said hey to Angela because that's
good
impressive.
Morning. Good morning. Get some coffee, Angela.
And coffee and celery. Anyway, so you had these cookies, these Oreos, and if he doesn't eat them, he's getting dumped.
Well, because I was like, I don't want to be with somebody who you can't eat a bag of Oreos with. That's not a healthy life. You think about long-term happiness, you don't want to be with somebody like that. Luckily, he ate a sleeve. We got married.
So you're like, if you don't eat one, we're breaking up. If you eat the sleeve,
we're getting married.
I do.
Pretty much.
I like the way you think. That sounds like a reasonable rationale to me.
Exactly. Because it's like I can appreciate being health conscious, but not to the point where you can't like hang out on the weekend and eat ice cream and pizza and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. On the weekend? Why do you just save it for the weekend?
Because I'm over 30 and I've got to be careful. That's why.
Fair enough. Hello, Heather. Angela just said hello to you specifically.
Hello. Good morning.
Probably pouring her coffee right now.
Oh man, I want some coffee.
Now, to me, 4:42 a.m. is still the middle of the night, but that's just me.
Nope, I get up to that early. That's when you can get stuff done.
I like to work at night. I work late at night. I'll work at midnight, 1, 2 in the morning, and then I'll go to bed, and I'll get up at like 8 o'clock.
I'm on my third dream by the time you're going to bed.
I'm on my third dream when you're waking up.
Literally, man.
Hey, whatever works though, right? That's the life of an entrepreneur. You got to figure it out. I tried it. I did a whole stretch where I got up at 5, did the 5 a.m. club. I did it for 90 days. Didn't like it. Did the 6 a.m. club. Did it for 90 days. Didn't like it. Did the 7 a.m. club. Did that for 90 days. I was like, man, I spent a whole year and I still don't like it. Then I found out around 8 o'clock, I'm good. I feel good.
You need to start a trend and be the 1 a.m. club. Yeah, that's when you're going to bed.
I could do that. Like I tell people, I tell my girlfriend all the time, I said, look, because she's a real early riser. I said, I can pull an all-nighter, no problem, anytime. But you want me to get up at 4? That's hard.
Yeah.
Really hard.
I just have a theory that the stuff that most people won't do gets done before most people wake up. That's kind of my theory, because like stuff like journaling and meditation, working out, all the stuff that we never have time for. If you don't get that done before people are waking up and dinging you, it's very, very hard to fit it in for the rest of the day.
Angela just said the pandemic ruined our biological clock.
Freaking pandemic.
I think she has a point. I will agree with that.
She's right.
It's been difficult during the pandemic to kind of balance that out. But what I do is, and I get your point is very, very valid about getting up and doing things early. What I find is I do a lot of those things late at night because everyone else is sleeping. So I can just kind of, and I feel like I ride the momentum of the day then.
Yeah.
So whatever I accomplished, and I get to unwind at the same time, because doing that admin stuff to me is kind of like relaxing, because I enjoy,
really?
I actually enjoy it. Yeah. I enjoy doing work. I enjoy what I love
no,
what I do.
I'm waving my mouth again.
I no, love no, what no. I do. I actually choose to do the work.
I love what I do.
I love
but
it.
Like, don't you need like, okay, I love what I do too, but I need 30 minutes of completely like not work stuff. At least
well, here's what I do. Let me go through this.
No,
1 o'clock. I pack everything up. Sometimes I'll watch a YouTube video before I do that. That's more like relaxing. But then I go in my room. I read my Bible for about 15 minutes. Then I read another book for about 15 minutes. And then I go to sleep.
I feel guilty.
Then I get up in the morning. I set two alarms. I set one. And usually I get up right before my alarm. But I set one for 8 and one for 8:15. I get up at 8, but I don't get out of bed. And I lay in bed for 15 minutes and I pray and meditate. Then I get up at 8:15 and I start my day. That's my thing. I always end the day and start the day with God. That's something I'm very cognizant of.
Oh my God. I'm a terrible person. I end my day every day with Michael Scott. That's how I end my day.
Michael Scott is very relaxing and that's okay. I'm not saying you have to do what I do. That's just how I like to do things.
I don't judge. Jesus to love me too, though.
What?
I just want Jesus to love me.
Jesus
too.
Loves everybody all the time. You don't have to work for Jesus' love.
Serial killers.
He loves you.
Mean people and people who watch Michael Scott before bed and don't read the Bible. All of us.
Everyone. Jesus loves everyone. You just have to let him love you. And love
him back. God, we're getting deep.
Yeah. But
Jesus loves you.
He does. I'm very passionate about that.
That's good.
Because when you think about it, and I'll be dead serious about this. When I came to the realization that God really does love me, and no matter what I do, he always will, and I'll never be without love because of that, it changed my life.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to, like, if someone doesn't approve of me, that's okay. God still loves me.
That's not what we learn in the church, though. Jesus loves you if you sign up for our potluck.
If you sign up for our potluck. That's still pretty easy, too. I mean, that's not asking a lot, right?
Yeah, I like going to potlucks.
What do you take to a potluck?
Well, it depends on the people that are going to be there. But I love bringing like different dips and stuff. So I love like pita chips and veggies with different dips and stuff. Mm-hmm. Anything with cheese. I've talked to you about that before. I used to make tiramisu. I love tiramisu.
Oh, I love tiramisu.
Dude, that's next level.
I have a great tiramisu recipe I'll share with you in the fall. It's a pumpkin tiramisu.
Okay.
It is delightful.
Speaking of Jesus.
So, yeah, I think Jesus had a lot to do with tiramisu. That. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
He's very inspired. Deb, what's going on? Deb from Cincinnati says hello.
Deb, what up, Deb? I did a dance on all just of
our,
for you.
She shows up to everything. She's on all of our live streams. Deb's good people. She has a great podcast, too, by the way. The Drop-In CEO podcast, so you can check that out.
Oh, I know her. She's, yeah. I connected with her on LinkedIn. I had a LinkedIn show about a year ago. I interviewed someone on LinkedIn every single day for 100 episodes. And it was just 10-minute interview. Okay, go ahead and take that. Yeah, that's how I met Deb. Like, it was the first time I ever met her. We jumped on a LinkedIn together.
What happened to the LinkedIn show? Did you only plan for it to be 100 episodes?
I planned for it to be a couple. This is what happened. This is Heather's brain. I go upstairs and I'm doing something. And I think, you need to be on LinkedIn more. And then I think, well, I hate LinkedIn. And then I think, well, Gary Vee says to get on LinkedIn. So then I'm like, okay, well, Gary Vee also says do what you're good at. And I'm good at talking. So I go downstairs and I type in on LinkedIn, hey, no, I didn't even do that. I made a video. I literally, this is 5 minutes span. Hey guys, I'm going to be doing a LinkedIn video series. If you want me to interview you, send me a DM. I had insane amount of people like just drop into my DM box. And so I just started interviewing them and it was going to be like one a week and it immediately went to daily.
Was it live or was it, would you record them and then?
This was before LinkedIn Live. It was pre-recorded. I edited it, did show notes for it. I mean, it was pretty much it was next level.
What do you have there? Zucchini? Or is that a cucumber?
Cucumber. Okay, this is an important conversation to have. Do you peel the cucumber or do you not peel the cucumber?
It depends. I personally like peeled cucumbers. I'm a peeler, but I'll eat them if they're not peeled.
You would. So, yeah, I knew you were that top.
So what, the way top. We did it in the restaurant is we would peel them, then we would cut them from top to bottom lengthwise, then we would scoop out all the seeds, and then we would cut them into like little half moons. That's how we peel them in the restaurant.
You're too fancy.
But I don't do that at home. At home, I'll just do a quick peel, do a slice, and just eat it. I love cucumbers. They're so refreshing.
Mm-hmm. So do you like salsa?
I love salsa, yes.
Salsa's my jam, dude.
Yeah.
I did like that's what I love. I love chips and salsa. I could eat that every day.
Do you make your own salsa though?
Yeah. Well, Brian does. He uses cilantro and all that crap.
Oh yeah, I love cilantro.
Garlic, all that. It's really, really good. But I love cutting up cucumbers and eating it in salsa. It's so good.
You missed a spot. I'm just kidding. It's a
I feel so judged.
Good. We love cucumbers. Now, I just realized
you're a chef and I'm cutting things in front of you. You're probably like deep down dying inside.
I'm not that
off what I'm
chef.
Doing. Are you sure?
No. Yeah.
Because I know there was this girl on TikTok who got upset because you didn't put your pointer finger over something.
No, that's not how you hold it. How you should hold the knife.
That's what she said.
You should pinch. Okay, Michael Scott. You should pinch it. Right above the handle so you can control the blade better. Yes.
That is what she said. Yes. You're right. You're right.
Of course I'm right.
I just completely
I'm a trained professional. What do you expect?
You are.
But I saw an interesting post the other day.
So, am I doing this right?
Close, yeah. Just watch your other hand. Watch your fingers. You should be very careful.
This is too complicated. This is making me nervous.
I don't like being watched as you cut vegetables.
Especially like live everywhere.
So I saw a post the other day, and I can't remember who posted it, so I'm not going to try to guess. But it made me laugh because it said, everyone's cool with peeling cucumbers, but you try to peel a pickle and everyone loses their mind. I was like, that's true. I've never seen anyone peel a pickle.
That is the most like chef kind of humor I've ever heard in my life.
You laughed though. It was funny.
It was good.
Because you can imagine like someone peeling a pickle. Like, what are you doing? Do you like pickles?
Yes.
Pickles go great on Bloody Marys.
What is up with you and a Bloody Mary? Are you having cravings or something?
I guess. You said the celery and that's right where my mind went. Do you like Sweet pickles or dill pickles?
You just cussed. No. Sweet.
No what?
Those do not, should not even be in the same sentence. Sweet and pickle.
But they both exist. So which one?
But they shouldn't exist. Sweet pickles are an abomination.
Mm.
Can I be more dramatic?
No, but it's fine.
Seriously, it's so disgusting. Dill all the way. All the way.
I don't dislike any pickle. I will eat them either way, but I prefer dill. I was doing consulting for a restaurant, for a barbecue joint, and we made a burger with brisket and all kinds of different things, and then we made homemade sweet pickles. Man, were they good. I just have to say.
How do you make a sweet pickle? Like, can we just talk about that? Like, dip it in sugar for a long time?
No, it's in the brine. It's a different type of brine, because a pickle is a cucumber. Well, you can pickle anything, really, but...
This is a disgusting conversation.
Baby cucumbers, and they're pickled. Get your mind out of
that. Okay. That's a word I don't like, is pickled. What a terrible word.
Why? Now, I was with you on the other words you don't like, but pickled I don't think is a terrible word.
Decided I don't like it because you were saying it over and over again. I was like, I don't like that word.
You're never going to look at pickles the same way again.
Ever.
Okay, so we cut. What did we do so far? We cut celery, we cut cucumbers, we cut green peppers.
There's so much. Okay, here, I'll show you everything that there is.
Yeah, let's take a look. Let's look at the kit.
There's all that, and then there's all that.
Oh, man, you got some good-looking tomatoes. Do you grow your own tomatoes?
Well, we have a garden that Brian just started, so it's coming up. But no, those are Aldi's grown fresh.
Nice.
Yep.
Aldi has some nice stuff.
Aldi's is a way to eat very, very cheap when you eat, like, you know, you eat a lot of produce and all that stuff. So
yeah, I'm a Costco fan too. I like Costco. I go to Costco.
Never been.
There's a lot of things you haven't done that we need to get done.
I was homeschooled and grew up in Arkansas, so I've just had a very hard
what
life.
What does that have to do with going to Costco?
A lot. I blame it on my homeschooled education and my Arkansans-ness.
So what do you think? What is like the go-to place? If you're going out to eat, you and your husband are going on a date night, you're going out to eat, where do you go?
Cold Stone.
What are you ordering at Cold Stone?
Everything. No, I'm just joking. I am one of the most unpicky people you'll ever meet in your life. Like, sometimes we'll go on a couple dates and people are back and forth and they're like, where are we gonna eat? And I'm like, I don't care. Like, literally take homegirl to the Waffle House, you know what I'm saying? I love anything that you can get a good margarita and some cheese dip. So Mexican restaurants are my jam. I like Chili's. Chili's is great. I'm a very cheap date. Like, I don't care about all that stuff. Like, if we go somewhere and it's like a nicer place, I literally can't tell the difference.
What's your favorite food?
Is it cheese? I like anything with cheese in it. I like cream cheese a lot. A lot.
Like cheesecake?
I just got upset how much I like it. It's such a great thing. Cheesecake is the best.
I'll tell you a dirty little secret. I think you might get it and you might not, but I'll tell it anyway because this reminded me of this. Back in the day, I was doing some, like, kind of a keto-esque diet, right? But it was high-fat keto type of deal. And this was a while ago. But one of my snacks that I liked was I would take a block of cream cheese and slice it and just eat it. Not the whole block in one sitting, but I'd slice one or two slices and just eat the cream cheese.
That kind of sounds like heaven. And have a Bloody Mary with that, you're just good to go.
I could, yeah. I don't know if that's on that plan, but yeah. Now who's bringing up the Bloody Mary?
Is it me or is there too many cucumbers in my house?
There's a lot of cucumbers. I don't know. Like, that's like number six.
I'm sick of cutting this up. I want to cut up a tomato. Look, I just half peeled this and I'm putting it over here. That's what happens when you have ADHD, kids.
Those tomatoes are looking nice, though. I will say that. Now, what are you going to do with all these vegetables? What's your plan?
So what we do is we buy a ton and we cut them all up, we put them in Ziploc bags. We have a salad almost every meal outside of breakfast. So there's always a salad for lunch and dinner with whatever we're having. And then I also have them for just kind of grab snacks. So like I mentioned earlier, We love hummus and salsa. We
I
just
love
snack a
hummus.
lot on this stuff. And also
What do
too,
you
with like the kids, I like putting stuff out sometimes because they, God, they eat a lot. They're like the tiniest humans and
You
they're
have
just
to
like,
feed the kids.
yeah, but they eat so bad. So we're trying to like put out better stuff for them to just grab,
Yeah,
which
yeah.
luckily they really like all this stuff.
What do you typically have for breakfast?
Well, I'm doing something different now because I'm trying to lose a couple of pounds and get trimmer. I've been doing a lot more weightlifting and I'm trying to cut, which sucks.
Yeah.
It's the worst. I hate it. Throwing off some more. So what I've been eating lately is anything with high protein in it. So I have eggs or I have these little Greek yogurt things that are high in protein. I've been trying to eat more intermittent fasting, or I get up about 4, so not eating till 10 or so. And then we normally eat dinner around 5:30.
Gotcha. So you're are you
We're
dicing at
old
three?
people.
What?
Like,
No, you're not.
seriously? No. When we're 80, I promise you we'll be going to bed at 1 p.m.
Eating dinner at noon.
Seriously, though, because we're almost already
And
there.
not only will you be eating dinner at noon, you'll probably start calling it supper.
My mom does that. She's a real country.
My
She's
mother
always
does
like,
the same.
what are we gonna eat for supper?
Yep. My mom does the same thing. That's why I bring that up. And I'm like, I don't even know what supper is. It's dinner.
I know. Oh,
Yeah.
smoothies. I love, we have a lot of protein smoothies. Brian is, he's on, he has a TikTok sponsorship with MyProtein. And
Nice.
so he gets a, let me show you all the protein. Well,
Show me the protein. I
it's
love
the
some
end of the,
protein.
it's the end of the month, so you can't, but this is just our, like all that stuff right
Wow.
there. Yeah. And then he normally has these cabinets full. It's the end of the month, so all of this is gone. But normally there's my protein snack bars all through there. I mean, he's just decked out with all that crap.
Yeah, I do a lot of protein myself. I like it. It's fast, it's convenient.
It's great. It's so good. So throw some kale or some spinach in with that and some frozen fruit. Have that almond milk. It's
I like to
awesome.
put a couple dates or a couple, yeah, a couple dates in there.
We got some
That's good.
dates.
Yep.
Okay. We got some date game.
I like date smoothies. People don't typically think about that when they think of dates. They like want to stuff them or, wrap them with prosciutto or whatever. I like to put them in smoothies.
I don't think I've ever, I mean, we've had date, you were talking about like the smoothie is mostly dates. No, I've
I
never
mean, you
had
can put
that.
protein in it too. You do some almond milk, some dates, some protein, some spinach. So that's good. That's a good
That
drink.
sounds
Throw a
interesting.
banana in there if you want.
Okay.
That's a good
See,
drink.
this is educational, y'all. This is the
Oh
reason you
yeah.
need to watch this show, is you get
Dates are
educated.
very good for you. You eat a couple of dates a day, that's a really good thing. Very high in antioxidants.
Was trying to make a that's what she said joke, but none of that makes sense.
Hi Stephanie, how are you? Stephanie says hi.
Hi, Stephanie.
It's exciting. Exciting to watch all the vegetable work. No, the first time I had a date smoothie like that, I was in Vegas. And
Oh,
I was at a
getting crazy.
conference and I was going down in the morning and I may have had one or too many cocktails the night before, so I was looking for something fast to grab. And I went past the protein stand and I was like, okay, give me the power protein, whatever. And it was like dates, spinach, protein, almond milk, banana. I was like, this changed my morning. It
That sounds legit.
picked me
That
up.
sounds
Yep.
legit.
And then every day that I was there, I had one in the morning. And then,
Oh, wow.
yeah. Delia, how are you, Delia Perry? Do you know Delia?
I do. That's how we're
You do. That's how
connected.
we met. Say hi to Delia. She's watching.
Hi, Delia. How are you? I didn't
Delia is the
really pay
magic worker
attention.
that brought us together.
She's a good person.
She is. I love her podcast too, Girls for Greatness.
Have you been on?
I have not been on, but I listen to it.
Why?
Well, I'm not a girl, per se.
I don't like all this stigma Delia has going on with her show.
Yeah,
There's too much
a little bit.
stigma.
Yeah, aren't we supposed? Never mind. We're not going to go
Just
there.
joking. I'm just joking.
So,
Okay, these are not cucumbers.
are those
Zucchini.
zucchini?
This is what's good. Fried zucchini
Oh.
with marinara sauce
Yes.
and cheese.
I'm there. I'm all for that. Have you ever had fried zucchini flowers?
No, but I would.
You can stuff them with a little ricotta cheese and then batter them lightly and fry them. That's
Where do you live?
good eating. Me, I'm in Pittsburgh.
Oh, that's not a bad job. You should come over and cook for us.
We can. We have a dinner party.
Okay. This is the plan. You drive over here, you cook for us, then you can just drive back home.
Okay, there we go.
That
So I don't
work?
even get to eat any. Do I get a doggy bag?
I mean, no.
Can I get a protein shake? You just
Yeah, you
showed
can
me
do that.
like 18 bags of protein in your
Yeah,
cabinet.
you can have a protein shake, but you can't eat any of the food because we got children here. We gotta feed them.
Gotta feed the
So
little mouths.
don't.
That fair enough. The
That's
kids
it.
gotta eat first. Delia said stigma schmigma, Heather. She is not fazed at all by your comments.
Listen, don't be smack talking me, girl.
So, what are we going to do with the zucchini? Do you eat that raw too?
No, this is always cooked. We just have it sometimes as a carb for, dinner or whatever. Well, if Brian's cooking, he uses it as a side. If I'm cooking it, I'm frying it and dipping it in tomato
You can
stuff because I
roast it
love it.
too. It's great grilled. I love it grilled.
Don't think we've ever done that.
Toss in a little bit of olive oil, a little bit of black pepper, a little pinch of salt, a little lemon zest. Throw it right on the grill. Simple, delicious.
Oh, we do that.
Do the
He's put
same
it
thing
on
with
his grill before.
asparagus. Yeah.
Asparagus.
You like asparagus?
Asparagus. I do, but doesn't it sound so serious?
I like asparagus, but I feel like it's a little overrated at the moment. I feel like everyone is all about the asparagus. Maybe it's just me in the circles that I run
What kind of circles are you hanging in? We all are talking about asparagus. I mean,
Asparagus
seriously, I don't think
circles.
that's ever come up in a conversation with me.
Like all my
All the people
friends
in my
love asparagus.
circles.
They love asparagus. Hey.
You only friends with chefs? Are you like
No.
discriminating like Gully over here? You only have
No, I love everyone.
foodies? So unfoodies, you like unfoodies.
I like unfoodies. I try to turn
Real
them
quick.
into foodies.
What's a foodie? Can we talk about that?
Well,
Does that
not turn
mean
them
you
into
know how to
foodies.
cook or you like to eat?
No, foodies just love food in general. It can be cooking, it can be eating, but they just love food. And like for me, I'm the kind of person, if you hung out with me on a regular basis, you would know that
I feel
I'm
like I
always.
do.
Yeah, we have been lately, but you're going to realize then as this continues, as our relationship grows, that I'm always all about food. So I'm always like, I'll eat breakfast, and as I'm eating breakfast, I'm thinking, what am I going to have for lunch?
That's not a
Like,
bad thing.
it's like,
That's a
no,
good
I'm
thing.
always thinking
That's a
because
quality.
I agree. Food is an experience. And it's not like the people that kind of, the statement, not the people, the statement that makes me mad is when people say, oh, I don't care about food. I just eat to fuel my body. I just eat so I can do like I have to. It's like your life must be so sad.
They're
Like
lying.
I love eating and I love like going to a restaurant is great. I miss it so much with the whole COVID thing, but
Oh,
it's not
man.
because of the food. And I was explaining this to someone earlier. I was saying, look, being a chef is a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing because I can make whatever I want whenever I want. It's a curse because I make whatever I want whenever I want. So it's both a blessing and a curse. So I don't need to go to a restaurant to get a specific type of food. I can just make it at home. But I love going to restaurants because I love the experience. I
Right.
like to go with people, not have to worry about that, still get to eat really good food. Everyone's talking, everyone's having a good time, having some cocktails. That's what's fun. And so
What's your favorite restaurant?
my favorite restaurant, there's a little Italian joint in actually in Baltimore in the Inner Harbor. It's a little hole in the wall. And it's some of the best Italian food. The chef comes from Venice. It's called La Tavola. And there's actually
La
what's so,
Tavola.
yeah,
La
that's the
Tavola.
means the table. There's
I nailed
actually
that name.
a really big Italian restaurant across the street from it that gets most of the love. But I discovered the little place, and the little place's food is much better than the big place. So yeah, that's like every year when I when. We go on vacation and we haven't in a year or so, but when my dad, every year, my dad's family used to go to Delaware to vacate to the beach there for vacation. And so I would always drive through Baltimore to be able to stop and have dinner there. And it was well worth it every single time.
Why
It's awesome.
Delaware? That's a very random place. Is that where
Well,
family's at?
yeah, well, no, because most of my family's here in the Pittsburgh area, but part of my family's in the center of Pennsylvania in the Altoona area. And Delaware was about the same distance from both places. And it was a quieter, more family-oriented beach than some of the other beaches. And when they started going, this was 30 years ago, myself and my cousins were all very small. So they wanted to go to the family beach with all the kids. So that's why Delaware.
So is the beach there cool?
It's nice. I mean, it's good because as we got older, it was a 10-minute drive from the party beach. So you're not at, you're at a quiet beach that's really chill, really laid back, nice beach atmosphere, little town, really cute. But then as we got older and became of age that we wanted to go out, we could just get, you know, driven 10 minutes, go to all the bars, bar hop, and then 10 minutes.
So back. There's a party beach in Delaware.
No, that's in Maryland. That's Ocean City.
Maryland.
It's like a 10-minute drive. Yeah.
You just never hear people be like, yeah, man, we're going to go to Maryland Beach. You know what I mean?
Not here you do. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Not in the South.
In this area, there's a lot of people that would vacation in Ocean City, Maryland. That
really?
Was a big place. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hmm.
Ocean City, Maryland, Ocean City, New Jersey. Where do the Southerners vacation?
Destin, Florida.
Okay.
Well, at least where I'm at right now. Gulf Shores, Alabama. Charleston, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Myrtle
you
Beach.
You know how I'm saying? All the Myrtle Beach.
Mm-hmm.
That's where all the good times are. Getting a little more southern. In fact, we're going to Pensacola next week. I'm excited.
Nice. There are people here. Watch his little finger. She's like reaching up on the board as you're cutting tomatoes.
This is just mom life in general. It makes me zero nervous.
It's like making me seeing those little fingers come up. I'm like, oh. But yeah, so there's a lot of people here that do go down to Myrtle Beach. I mean, that's a place too. But a lot of people, if they want to, because from where I am, it's about a 6-hour drive to Maryland.
Oh. And okay.
To Myrtle Beach, it's about a 12-hour drive. So,
okay,
that's the difference.
It's not bad. You're making me hungry, and you're making me want to go to the beach.
Yeah, that's like the story of my life: food and dreaming about the beach.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Those are goals.
We got all of these vegetables that we're cutting. You're gonna have snacks for like a year after this. You're going to be making all kinds of stuff.
You'd be surprised. This will be gone in a week.
Let's take a minute and talk about your show and what you're doing, because I think people need to hear about unconventional leaders.
Well, it's not this fun. We don't do no cooking. Yeah. We've been around. Oh my gosh, she took the tomato bag and she's trying to get it on the floor.
Hey, Mama.
Thank you, baby. We've been in production for a little over 3 years, and it's exactly what it sounds like, unconventional leaders. So we talk to people who are doing things outside the box and making a difference in the world in their own unique way. Because a lot of times people are like, well, you know, I don't have this or that or blah, blah, or, you know, I'm a little bit different than people in this industry. And so where they see that as a disadvantage, we see that as your competitive advantage. Mm-hmm. So we tell those stories. It's fun.
I like it. I don't want to say who's your favorite guest, but is there one whose story just like floored you or stood out that was super unconventional as opposed to all the other unconventionals?
I think the one that we're going to be releasing here in a week or two with Sam Jones, I just interviewed him a few days ago. That was such an impactful conversation to have because I'm a very multifaceted person and I'm very curious, and I've recently started kind of identifying myself more as a creative, even over an entrepreneur, because I just love creative work. Like people normally talk in like how many zeros their business is making. I don't, I care, but I don't as much. Mm-hmm. I really want to create stuff. Like I love this. I love production. I love art, and in the weird way that you and I do it. So getting to speak with him and being reassured that you can be multifaceted. You can have these crazy God out there dreams and ideas, and you can actually make them happen even without a network, even without resources. In a way that he articulated how you do that was just super impactful for me.
I can't wait to hear that. We'll have to check that one out as soon as it comes. You said it's coming out next week?
I don't know. I got to look at my calendar or something like that.
Okay, we'll keep an eye out for
that.
I love that shift. I love that shift that you're making from entrepreneur to more creative. That's how, you know, coming from the chef world, that's what I did first. That to me was a creative outlet. And it was, you know, so I see myself as an artist and a creative as well. I just had to figure out how to not be the starving artist, right? Because you hear that label a lot where people put everything they have into what they're creating. Artistically or creatively, And then, you know, the money is typically something that comes later, or something that you don't really think about, because your fulfillment comes from creation. And I had that. I was there, and I had to like recircle the wagons a couple times and be like, this is all well and good, but I need to finance this somehow, and I need to figure out how to drive revenue. And that's, you know, what I had to do.
And that's really hard, because then you get to a point where you're almost spending so much time in your business, and then you get caught up. I don't know if you, but for me, you know, the entrepreneurial world is very competitive and very kind of shiny object. And it's very easy to get caught up in that and wanting to scale this and do this and grow this. And that's great if that's your long-term goal. But, you know, I told my husband the other day, I said, I can be making this god-awful amount of money doing this and working 15 hours a week, which everybody seems like they're so obsessed with. And I would be absolutely miserable if I wasn't creating the kind of show, the kind of art, for lack of better terms, that I want to create. Like, I literally don't think about the business stuff as much. Like, I've created a business to give me time and flexibility to produce the kind of work that I want to produce, period. Not the other way around.
I get it. You're preaching to the choir. I mean, it makes total sense to me. And that's something that I think people like us, we have to figure out and battle until we get to the point where the art provides the revenue, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and that takes time.
It takes time.
Consistency, and it takes effort. But it's definitely very possible and very plausible if you focus and continue down that path.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, like, you know, I take acting classes and all that, and I'm around a whole bunch of just people who are trying to make it in that world. And they're all working. I mean, they're 30 years old and working, you know, waiters and waitressing jobs and side gigs and all this stuff that they don't necessarily love, but that's what they do for their art, because they know that's what it's going to take. And I think too, is that creative business owners, you know, we need to be serious about our business, but also to keep the number one thing the number one thing, and remember why you're doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise you can get caught up in like, I want to beat this coach and I want to be number one consultant here and all of that, and then you're just producing complete crap that's inauthentic to you because you're trying to get leads. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying any of that's wrong, but I'm speaking to creative kind of entrepreneurs. I have to check myself on that a lot, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, and just, you know, being straight up, because like, for instance, this show that we're doing right now, this is just, I think this is fun. You know, that's why.
Exactly.
We're doing it. I want it to serve you, because I want you to talk about what you do in your show and all of those things, so that people get to know who you are and what value you bring. I think that's super important. But actually just doing this with you, to me, is fun. So, I mean, I'm not like, I didn't come into this going, oh, I get to do the show with Heather today. I wonder how much money I could make from this. Cause I have no idea, you know, how we would even do that. This is just, how can we provide value, have a good time doing it, and, you know, whatever comes of it, comes of it. But
And the irony of it is, the more you put into that and explore that and give yourself freedom to do it without expectation, the irony is that more often than not, something will yield from that. When we plan everything over here, that's usually not the stuff that takes off. Normally it's the fun, creative stuff that we let go of that turns into something.
Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing is, if those results are your sole focus and you're really trying to do that, a lot of people get to the point where it's almost like they're bashing their head against the wall. Absolutely. Because they're trying to, they have this outcome that they get stuck to, and it's the way they want it, and they won't accept anything else. And maybe that's not the way it's supposed to be, but you don't give yourself the latitude to explore, to figure that out.
Exactly.
I mean, I talk about it a lot, but, you know, 10 years ago, I didn't even know what we're doing right now was a thing. I didn't even know you could do something like this. And I thought I would be opening more restaurants right now, building a restaurant empire. I didn't know that we would be doing this. But because I was open to the possibilities and did that exploration that we're talking about, I'm infinitely more fulfilled doing this than I would be still as a restaurateur in the restaurant space. Don't get me wrong, I love that space and I love food, and that's why we're doing this today too. I love watching you cut vegetables. But I wish I could snack on some while you're cutting. That's the only drawback of the show, is the fact that I get to see people make great food, or, you know, meal prepping and whatever, and I can't try any because I'm way over here.
So why don't you start cooking with the people? You could give us lessons.
We could.
Yeah, like You could, you know, that little flour thing you were talking about, like, teach me how to make that. You know what I'm saying? Hey, here's the end result. Oh, if you can believe it.
I lost your video. Where'd you go? Okay. Heather checked out for just a minute. She'll be right back after these messages. We're just gonna hang out here until she turns her camera back on. But I'm having a great time, having a blast. Talk to her. Here we go. She's coming back right now. Let's see if I can get her back. This is the magic of live stream. So she was trying to show us her vegetables that she had there. She had a whole thing. She cut tomatoes, cucumbers, celery, zucchini, and this is how her family meal preps. So yeah, so she cut all those different vegetables, and we were talking about some really cool stuff, specifically about being a creative and being a creative in the entrepreneurial space, and how when you go towards your creativity and you go towards the things that draw you, that pull you, most often that's what translates into the things that become the most powerful. You know, a lot of people, they can build a business from the ground up, but if you want to build it with fulfillment, you should start with fulfillment and then build on that. So I'm trying to use sign language to get her back on, and we're going to see if she can join from her computer. But I think that's a super valuable conversation.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. You're very, very quiet, but we can hear you.
Hello.
There we go.
Forgive me.
Anyway,
I'm
I
sorry.
was just filling the blank space as we waited for you, talking about how I think our conversation that we just had was super powerful. The one about going towards what you're creatively drawn to and then figuring out, because the money side of things, you can always figure out.
Oh my
But if
gosh,
you
there's so many
start with
different ways to
money,
make money.
yeah, if you start with the money and you hate it, then you're in a place where you're like, well, now what?
Well, think about it. Are you creating for yourself another job that you hate? Because you can be self-employed and still be an employee, hating your work. And I've been in that place where I'm like, okay, this isn't what I signed up to do. This isn't what I'm wanting. You know, you can be creative with crap, but just don't put it to, you know, you escape something, don't replace it with something else that you hate.
Yeah. And the funny thing was, I had a conversation with someone on my podcast a couple of weeks ago, and this was a person who left corporate to become an entrepreneur, built a seven-figure business as an entrepreneur, and then realized she wasn't happy. So then had to pivot from a seven-figure business to doing something else, and she's back to six figures now. But the point is, that can happen. It can happen to where you build something that's successful even by all from outside perspective or monetarily, and you're like, now, and how much harder is it to let that go once you have, like, if you're not making any money, it's easy to stop and move on to something else, right? But if you're making seven figures and you're like, this is sucks, I want to do
Can't
something else,
imagine.
that's
I
hard.
can't imagine.
And you don't hear that story a lot. That's why I was so interested in that story. You hear the story of everyone leaving their corporate job to start the venture, which is cool. But what about the person that starts the venture that all of a sudden isn't happy with the venture?
Yeah, that's real.
Yeah, because that can happen. It's not like something that never happens. But
Yeah.
so that's why I think too, for to your point, going where you feel pulled, knowing what fills you up, being creative, that's something that I don't think you should just brush to the side. Because
Nope.
there are things, I'm sure for both of us, there are things we could be doing right now and just making money, focusing
Oh
on that,
my gosh,
making
yes.
way more money.
Yes. I've had lots of very appealing offers for different stuff, but you have to be an integrity to what your soul says. Because this is the thing, not all of us want to do this crazy ass stuff. If you are like, if this appeals to you at all, this whole creative work and, you know, doing your own thing and building something from nothing, you are a rare breed, Jack. Like, this is not something that most people want to do. So I think we need to really pay attention to our natural urges and pulls. And like what Sam Jones said the other day is trust it, because not everyone has that. And there's not a good, bad, it's not equal or what. It's not a comparison thing. It's just, are you in integrity with what you feel called to do? Period.
I love that. Integrity is such a big thing. And I think that we all think about integrity and we think about how integrity shows up with other people, but we a lot of times don't look at integrity with ourselves. And I was talking to someone earlier today who made a great point, who said he's very cognizant of hitting snooze in the morning because he realizes if he hits snooze, that's the first promise he broke to himself that day. because you set that alarm with the intention to get up at that time. And if you hit snooze, you don't get up at that time. And subconsciously, that does something to you over time. When if you're not keeping your promises to yourself, how can you be in true integrity even if you show up for everyone else?
That's it, man.
This is fun. So tell me really quickly before we sign off, you got all those veggies. We saw you cutting them. We saw you loving them. We saw your family loving them too. What are you going to do? You're making a salad. What are you going to do? Like, what kind of dressing do you use? What kind of lettuce do you use?
We don't use dressing. Okay. We use red wine vinegar and olive oil with spices, salt, pepper, all that stuff.
That's a dressing. That's a vinaigrette.
A vinaigrette.
There you go. That's the technical word for it. Yeah. But, okay, so you throw all those veggies on. Do you do some type of protein usually? Do you do chicken, shrimp, steak?
We're for the most part chicken, turkey, and fish. We don't eat any red meat.
Okay. You eat no red meat?
None. I haven't had bacon, sausage in years. I can't even remember
That aside, how do you live? And I'm seriously interested with this. I'm not like downplaying it. Like, that's great. You can do that. But I need to know, how do you live without every once in a while having a burger?
I mean, we have burgers. We have like turkey burgers and stuff. I mean, like, I'll eat a burger. Like, if I go to somewhere and they're like a cookout or something, so I'll eat that, but it's just very rare.
I was gonna say, man, like, I don't eat burgers every day. But like every
they're
couple,
good.
Yeah, I'm like, man, they're I good. They're to me, there's something so sexy, and I'll use that word here because it is about like a medium rare burger that you make, and there's like cheese on it, and you have bacon, and I like ketchup and lettuce and tomato and a little thin slice of onion. That's like, I'm just so happy with that.
I mean, like I was saying, it's good.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's like that can change your life.
I would probably eat differently if I wasn't married to who I'm married to. Like, he's next level. So
you have to blame him. It's okay. You can. I mean, he's your husband. You can say
that. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's the truth.
Yeah. So. I mean, that, but in any case, thank you for doing everything today with us. I had so much fun with you. I love talking about being creative and that type of thing. And I'm now hungry for vegetables and a Bloody Mary. So
I
you did
that
too.
Vegetables do not sound good.
No, my puppy will love it because he loves baby carrots. So if I go pull out the carrots, he's a happy camper. So Heather Parody, thank you so much for being here. Heatherparody.com is where people can find you, and also subscribe to the Unconventional Leaders podcast. Is there anything else you want? I'll give you the last word. Anything else you want to talk about before we go?
Yeah, connect with Mario, subscribe to his stuff, leave him ratings, reviews, share his stuff. Putting out content is a lot of hard work. So the fact that he puts out as much as he does shows how much he loves and cares about you guys. So make sure you support him.
Thank you. Love you, Heather. Appreciate it. We will talk again real soon. Everyone, thank you for watching. I hope you enjoyed this segment, Cooking and Conversation. Don't forget, you can get it on the podcast, all the different social channels. We'll be releasing all kinds of cool stuff. Go follow Heather, check out her site, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks, everyone.